Welcome back, friends, to the Family Worship Center of Indian Town website. This, I believe, will be the 11th week that we've been recording some songs and message during this lockdown for the coronavirus. And this is likely to be the last presentation like this. Our church is gathering for public worship and congregational worship on next Sunday, June 7th at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to that. Sunday school classes will be meeting before that at 9:30 a.m. Would like to thank Ed and Connie Whitaker and Laura Arnold for coming in and recording the music and taking their time to put this together. And we'll also be opening up our Bibles and taking a look there as well. Let's bow our heads together and let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray. Father God, once again, we give you thanks for the capability of recording this and sending it out to our congregation and to others who might be interested in listening. And Father, thank you for our congregation. We thank you for the believers who gather here, and we ask you to bless each one. We recognize, Lord, what a blessing it is to be able to gather together again. And as we have each week, Lord, we want to also lift up those who are dealing with this disease and those who are on the front lines helping. We are grateful, Lord, for the unselfish service of so many to help their neighbors and friends. Father, thank you for your great love for us, and we just ask you, Lord, to help our nation, help our country, and, Lord, truly all the people across this globe. And thank you again for your love for us, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you hold evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. And oh, how he loves you. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Kind of home, sick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken. Time won't matter anymore. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on the there my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land, I'm looking now across that river where my faith is gonna end inside. There's just a few more days to labor, then I will take my heaven. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you, and someday on thee I'll stand, and there my home shall be. Sweet Beulah Land, Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land.
All right, let's take a look at our Bibles now, and gonna actually do a review of the messages that we've brought over these weeks, and kind of point us in a direction looking forward, going forward. I looked back over the notes from the messages of these past 10 weeks, and I would have to say I learned some things. That first week, when determined just what to do to try to provide something for our congregation, I determined to come up to the church with the Bible, with my Bible and my guitar, and just sang some songs that we were familiar with, and opened the Bible and read four passages from the Psalms. To be perfectly honest with you, at that point, I didn't even know how to turn the recording machinery on, and I had to call and ask Eddie Miller, our sound tech guy, how do I turn this on? And I want to just take a moment and thank Eddie Miller for all that he has done in putting together these recordings, the music, and the message. And he, for so many years, has been so faithful in serving our congregation, serving the Lord in this way. And Eddie, thank you for all that you have done. You know, As I said, I had never done this before, and I thought, what can we do to try to encourage our people here in this congregation? And as we do here in the church, we sing praise to the Lord, we pray, we open our Bibles, and I did just that, and jotted down some thoughts to speak to our folks. I looked through, here's what we came up with: trust God, use some common sense, and care for one another. At that point, we were just heading into this thing, and with a whole lot of unknowns. What we did here was, this will get worse before it gets better. And we've been following this, and it did. And it seems that it is getting better, and we thank the Lord for that, so much so that we're able to gather together as a congregation once again. In the course of the weeks, I spoke about this subject, a time of shaking. And I do want to read a passage here from Hebrews chapter 12. Some may remember this. If you have not listened in on previous weeks, you're going to get a little taste of each of the messages, or a bulk of them. Let me read here Hebrews 12, verses 25 through 29. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking, for if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a devouring fire. You know, when things start to shake, that creates uncertainty, fear, and concerning the future, and also panic. And, you know, when human beings panic, sometimes the actions are rational, and sometimes they are irrational. And we're probably going to laugh for years from now about the hoarding of toilet paper. Still boggles the imagination. But, you know, when things are shaken, it reveals also what is unshakable. The things that are unshakable remain, and that's what this passage, it says, that only those things that are unshakable will remain. What we have from God, in God, and with God are what is really unshakable in this world. No matter what happens here, our future is built on a solid foundation that cannot be destroyed. I'd like to read a passage from 1 Peter chapter 1. Read verses 3 through 5. Peter wrote, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Now, that sounds unshakable to me, and that's what he's speaking about there. You know, in this, it is a reminder for us not to place our ultimate confidence in that which can be and will be destroyed, but instead to build our lives on Christ and his promises, his unshakable kingdom. Let me read here passage 2 from Matthew chapter 7. Read verses 24 through 27. This is what Jesus said. Talking about building on a solid foundation. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. And so we are reminded to build our lives on Christ and his promises and his unshakable kingdom. And in this passage that we read from Hebrews chapter 12, it said, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, a couple of things. We need to be thankful, and we need to please God by truly worshiping him, truly worshiping God. Another one of the messages that we brought during this time that we haven't been able to meet together began with a question. And since we couldn't meet together, the question was, how are we going to do church now? How will we do church? Pastors were asking that question, not just across the United States, but across the world. Those congregations that were tech-savvy had a head start. Some were already live streaming their services on social media sites. And in some cases, we have found out increasing the church's presence in their communities, more people getting on to watch and to listen. Now, you might not have noticed yet, if you've been around, but we are not too tech-savvy. So we didn't live stream any services, but we've been recording audio and making it available to those who wanted to hear. Somebody asked me over the course of these weeks, they said, I didn't know that we recorded messages, and I said, we've been doing it for 13 years now. I look back, and so we've been doing it a while, and they're available going back a number of years. But you know, that question, how are we going to do church now, raised another question, and probably the more important question. What if instead of finding new ways for, quote, doing church, we at this time determined to be the church right where we are, even in lockdown in our homes, being the church? And you know, followers of Jesus Christ have had to do this before. I was reminded in Acts chapter 8, when persecution came upon the church in Jerusalem, they didn't quit. They didn't just fold their hands and say, well, I guess this is done. And they didn't just go to another location. They were actually scattered by what we read, an intense persecution. But I want to read here to you what those believers did in Acts chapter 8. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Now here's where it gets interesting, verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Those believers who were persecuted for their faith were scattered. And as they went out, they spoke out and lived out their faith wherever they went. And you know, Jesus spoke to his followers. We can read here in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus told his followers that he had an expectation of their lives. And it's good for us to read this too. Matthew chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said, You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And so Jesus said, you don't light a lamp and then put it under a basket. What that light is intended to do is to bless others. And so we can either do church or we can be the church. And in that message, we challenged those of us in our homes and our communities, some who are still working, to be a light. You know, there is a difference here. Just doing church, that's showing up, singing, listening, contributing, giving tithes and offerings, that's good, and that's obedience to God. But you know, there is something even more, something that I believe Jesus was pointing to here, and it's even better. Instead of asking, what will I be getting out of this? We might ask, how will God use me to make Christ known? How will God use me to be a light? How can God use me to bring others to Him? Now, we spoke also on one of the Sundays about partnering with God during the crisis. And we took time to express our gratitude to those who risk their own lives, and some who continue to risk their own lives today to try to help others, nurses, doctors, medical technicians, paramedics, EMT, police officers, truck drivers, grocery store workers, and countless others. And we cannot forget teachers. I mentioned this, that many parents across this great land have a new respect and appreciation for teachers. And to think of teaching two or three or maybe four children in the home, you imagine teaching 20 to 25 children in a classroom 8 hours a day. Those teachers certainly deserve our gratitude as well. But we ask the question, how can we partner with God during this crisis? And Jesus used a word to describe what his followers should and would be like. It's found in that same passage that I read about being light. It's found in one of the most well-known sermons in our Bibles. And that word that Jesus used, the word salt, is what he said his followers would be like, to be the salt of the earth. Let me read that. That's Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. And Jesus said that his followers would be known as salt. And we talked in that message about what salt does, its properties. Salt preserves. Salt purifies. You know, there's a passage in James, the book of James, James 1 and verse 27. It talks about what the kind of religion that God really likes to see in his people. And that one is caring for the vulnerable, the fatherless and the widow in their affliction, and to refuse to let the world corrupt us. And by that, it means committing ourselves to God's ethical and moral values, not the world's value system. And that is to find out what honors God and determine to let that be the guiding principle of our life. So salt preserves, salt purifies, but salt also flavors. You know, it's the Lord's goodness in our lives, his blessing, that brings God flavor to our world. And a good question for us to ask ourselves is this: am I bringing God flavor to my world? You know, there's something about salt, and that is this: it must come into contact with something to be useful. If it stays in the shaker, it doesn't do much. It doesn't preserve, it doesn't purify, and it doesn't flavor. And so, in order for salt to really be useful, it must come into contact with something. But you know something else about salt, and you know this most likely from your own personal experience, is that with salt, a little bit can make a big difference. A little bit can make a big difference. So the question, how can you and I partner with God? Well, by being the salt that Jesus was talking about. Today I did a memorial service for a dear lady who was in the nursing home ministry that Tony and Ann have done for some 14 years now, a dear Christian lady. And I listened to her family tell about the blessing in her final years. She was 94 years old and passed away just about a week and a half ago. It was 2 weeks ago now. And the efforts that Tony and Ann and others here in our church and our community to go and to sing and to just bless these people at the nursing home, you're not going to hear about that on the evening news. You're not going to read about it in the paper. But I'll tell you, that effort that they put forth for the kingdom of God made a big difference in that family's life. And we're reminded of that. We're talking about how we can partner with God, and that is by being the salt that Jesus was talking about. And, you know, two good questions for us to stop and ask ourselves right now. Am I a follower of Jesus? That's the first question. The second question is this. If I am a follower of Jesus, is my life and how I am currently living it, does it resemble the salt that Jesus was talking about? And that's important for us to consider from time to time in our lives. Over the course of this forced lockdown, we gave thanks to God for our mothers on Mother's Day. And usually on Mother's Day, we present flowers and just have a great time honoring our mothers and their contribution to our lives. We asked a handful of people in our church if they would come in and record a message of gratitude to their mothers, and that was a blessing. And that is falls in line with Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, we read this, honor your father and mother. And you know, the same thing is repeated in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 19, honor your father and mother. And you know, friends, no matter what is going on in our world, we still need to be grateful to those who did so much for us, our mothers. You know, we also shared this thought. One of the Sunday mornings, I woke up with a song in my mind that I hadn't heard for 30 years. And the song, I didn't sing it that week, and I'm not going to sing it now, but here's the song. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart is rolled away. It goes on to say, every sin had to go neath the crimson flow. And that's a song about being forgiven by God. The burden and the weight, the unease, the spiritual anxiety, the dread regarding our lives and God's judgment was rolled away because of what Jesus did in dying on that cross for you and for me. And this is the message of God's forgiveness for the alienated, the confused, the weary, sin-burdened soul. All my sin had to go neath the crimson flow. I think back a lot of years now to when I dragged out in back of the college dormitory where I was living in Tennessee and called out to God and repented of the sin in my life and the rebellion against God. And I can remember, and it's just very real to me, just the very sense of relief to know that my sins had been forgiven because God has promised forgiveness to those who come to Him and who are open and honest before Him. Let me read here Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Peace with God. You know, we spoke in one of the messages as well about science, and we're hearing a lot of that. The word is really been front and center in so many of the news presentations. And I am truly thankful, and I know many of you are as well, for the many amazing advancements in health, in our work and employment, in our lifestyles. Think air conditioning. Aren't you glad for that? Not only that, but our understanding of the world that we live in. But you know, friends, as we said, science does not speak to nor have an answer for everything. Jesus asked this question. We read it in Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? And you know, matters of the heart, the destiny of the soul, peace, forgiveness, regret. How do hypotheses and data and formulas and research speak to these issues? Can you weigh or digitize love? I don't think it's adequate. It just does not cover that territory. Now, our Creator has plenty to say about these things. I'm not going to read them today, but if you are taking notes and you want to jot some passages down, I think it'd be important to read one passage out of these for you. And that is this. God has a lot to say about worry. About worry. And you know, the times that we are going through has brought worry front and center. There's something that God instructs us in regarding the burden of worry. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I do want to read another verse for you in regard to this burden of worry. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It's a short verse, but it has got some important information for us. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. The burden of worry. We also spoke about the burden of unforgiveness. And you know, Jesus' command is persistent and clear. He calls us to forgive. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. I'm not going to read that this morning, but I will ask if you will want to take a look at it in your own study. I'm going to read Ephesians 4, though. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Here's what it says. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. And so we are reminded in the Scripture to forgive. Now, you know, the alternative to forgiving, you know what it is? The alternative to forgiving is bitterness and vengeance. And that only makes the pain last longer. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. There was one other burden we spoke about that week, and that was the burden of regret. You know, if you're human, it's likely that you've lived long enough to have at least one regret. And most of us probably at least have two. We have some regrets in our lives. How can we find relief and release from these regrets? Of our own making. Let me turn to a passage that's very important for us. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. How can we find relief and release from regrets in our lives? Here's what it says, and it's worth paying attention to. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There is no regret for that kind of sorrow, but worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. Our sorrow for sin, for our own sin, that leads us into difficulties, The way in which we deal with that, Scripture reveals it here, is repentance, a word we don't hear that much about, and that is to turn from sin and turn to God and God's ways. Do you know repentance brings God's forgiveness? That is the promise from God. And God's forgiveness brings hopefulness for a future. And that hopefulness for a future is freedom, no longer needing to linger in it. Christ worked for us and in us because of what he has done for us and what he's done in us. We can rejoice for God's forgiveness and move on from that forgiven past to what lies ahead. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by regrets, sometimes from our own sin, sometimes just from our own stupidity. But whenever regret threatens to overwhelm us, we can look to the cross and remember that Jesus died for us. And Scripture says this, that nothing, and that includes our own sin and stupidity, nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And that is important to know. And friends, if you are struggling with the burden of regret, just remember that the price has been paid. Certainly learn something from it and do not keep repeating it, but know that when you have repented of it and you are moving on, you do not need to keep dragging it around with you. Over the course of these weeks, I asked our Spanish congregation pastor, Pedro Carcamo, and also the student ministry pastor here at Family Worship Center, Lorenzo Drayton, to bring a message. And they both did, and both reminded us to trust in the Lord. In fact, Lorenzo began his message with this question: what do you do when you don't know what to do? And the answer is trust in the Lord. Last week's message referenced a natural catastrophe that occurred 56 years ago. It was called the Good Friday earthquake. It brought suffering and damage and death to Anchorage, Alaska, and the surrounding area. To this date, it's the most powerful earthquake to hit North America, and it's the second most powerful in recorded history. And as I shared with you last week, I listened to scratchy recordings from long ago of people reaching out to hear from and to find out if their loved ones were safe, if they were all right, if they were okay. And there was something that emerged from that that really caught my attention, so much so that I really directed last week's message to this thought. Extreme situations and times of great uncertainty can reveal the value and the importance of relationships in our lives. Can reveal the value and the importance of people. And you know, I heard it in those recordings, the sense of relief when people got word that their loved ones were all right, that they were okay and safe. And most of us hearing this message today have probably experienced it too, reminding us of the value and the importance of the people in our lives. And too often we fail to appreciate something or someone while they are there in abundance, while they're there with us. And we might make the mistake of continuing to take them for granted until they are no longer available, or it is no longer available. The old saying, you never miss the water till the well runs dry. How true that is. And so we're reminded that in this time, what a great blessing it is to have a congregation of brothers and sisters in Christ. I asked each of us in that last message to imagine this, not being able to meet together again, to never again worship God together, to never hear or pray for the blessings and the concerns of each other again, to never be able to serve God and others together. Spoke with Gerald Steves, who works with our young people and the King's Kids, the Children's Church, and we were talking about a vacation Bible school and how we've had to put it off for this year Although it's still on the table, we're praying about it and going to consider it if things look right. But we talked about the joy of the workers as we come together to be a blessing and bring God's word and God's truths to the young people of Indiantown. Imagine not being able to ever gather again and serve in that way, or to never again share life as followers of Christ. Hopefully this time of being apart, this time of real uncertainty, has revealed the value and the importance of church, even with its weaknesses, its failures, and its shortcomings. And we recognize that that's a part of it as well. But we're also aware of the blessing that it is and it can be in our lives. And to keep in mind, Jesus loved the church, and so should we. Jesus did love the church. During these past weeks, 10 weeks or so, we have been reminded by the scriptures to look up, to trust God, to realize that we have something that is unshakable, even when everything else has been shaken, to look up, to look to God, to trust Him, even when we don't know what to do. Not only were we reminded to look up, but we were reminded to look outward, to partner with God in establishing His purposes, not to just do church, but to be the church, right where we are, right where we live, right where we work, and also to be the salt of the earth and to be the light of the world, looking outward. But we are also reminded to look back, to remember that we have been forgiven and those burdens have been rolled away. Our sin and hopefully our stupidity and our regrets and all of it, we can remember that we have been forgiven and we've got a future in God. Today, I want to challenge each one of us to look forward. We've looked up over these past 10 weeks. We've looked outward. We've looked back. But I want to ask each of us to look forward. And here's what I really want to focus on today. Hopefully the things that you and I have recognized as important won't be forgotten when this crisis is past. Early on, I heard a preacher from down in Louisiana say this: whatever you decide for God, it needs to be a movement and not just a moment. It needs to be a movement and not just a moment. You know, when it's just a moment, it's momentarily important but soon forgotten. A movement in our lives, you know, a movement looks forward and asks the question, well, what's next? What's next? A moment, it's something that's in the past. And so a movement in our lives towards God, for some, it's been a time of spiritual awakening. And you know, it is truly a wake-up call, forcing us to acknowledge our own mortality. And for many, many people, this very time has been driving a search for answers to life's big questions. Why am I here? Where am I going after this life? And then what should I be doing while I am here? These are life's big questions. And if you who are listening to this message today have really considered some of these questions, I want to encourage you for this to be a movement towards God in your life, and not just a moment, and not when things start rolling back to normal. We're already seeing traffic just filling up the roads once again, and I'm glad for that, and I'm glad people are able to get back to work and get back to their employment, and certainly it should be done safely and with regard for ourselves. You know, this has been a real point in time where we are challenged to take on personal responsibility for our decisions and for what goes on in our lives, and not just rely on government to make all the shots and the calls, but for us to realize, hey, I am responsible before God and to others as well. So a movement, and not just a moment, a movement towards God, a movement towards gratefulness, to be truly grateful for the blessings in our lives and for the people in our lives. A movement towards home. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say how thankful they were for that time together as family. And now some are ready to move on past that, but I have heard over and over again how grateful they have been to have had time together with family. A movement towards regard and care for our elders, and to remember them and remember the contribution to our lives and to our world, our elders. A movement towards valuing and pursuing God's purposes. So what will it look like for you going forward? Our challenge this morning and our prayer is that this will not just be a moment, and when things fall back into their normal routine, these important thoughts and concepts and principles will not just fall away, but will be a part of our lives. I want to ask and challenge each and every one of our folks in our congregation and others listening to consider that and to decide this will be a part, by God's help, of my life. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, thank you for your great love for us. Lord, thank you for your word that we have just touched on here today and been reminded of some things that we have considered and spoken about over these past 10 weeks or so. Lord, please help us to take what you have impressed upon our spirits, our hearts, our minds, Lord, and to make it a movement in our lives, to move towards you, to move, Lord, towards gratefulness, Lord, to move towards your purposes. And I just ask you, Lord, to bring great blessing and movement forward, Lord, for your purposes here in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just a man, help me believe in what I can be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, it's worse now than then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking.
Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today, show me the way.
I could have the world and all it owns, a thousand kingdoms, a thousand thrones. If only earth were mine to hold, with wealth my only goal, I'd spend my gold on selfish things, without the love that your life brings. Just a little bit more was all I'd need, till life was torn from me. And I'd rather be in the palm of your hand, though rich or poor I may be. Faith can see right through the circumstance, sees the forest in spite of the tree. Your grace provides for me. If I should walk the streets, no place to sleep, no faith in promises you keep, I'd have no way to buy my bread with the bottle for my bed. But if I trust the one who died for me, who shed his blood to set me free, if I live my life to trust in you, your grace will see me. I'd rather be in the palm of your hand, though rich or poor I may be. Satan see right through the circumstance, sees the forest in spite of the trees. Your grace provides for me. And I'd rather be in the palm of your hand, or poor I may be. Faith can see right through the circumstance, sees the forest in spite of the tree. Your grace provides for me. Your grace provides for me.
Right. Just have a few announcements. We will be gathering next Sunday, June 7th at 10:30 a.m. for our worship services. And then at 9:30, our adult Sunday school classes will be meeting. The women's class here in the sanctuary and the men's and couples class over in the youth room in the ministry building. There will be no children's ministry at this time. We'll be taking a look at that for the first week of July, so we'll be letting our young people know about that. Also, you can find a list of considerations for our gathering on the church website. It's there. We ask you to take a look at that, and I want to thank each and every one for helping us with these guidelines. The bottom line is we are trying to help keep each other healthy, and that's important. Say this, and this is, I think, important for us to state. If you do not feel comfortable attending the worship service at this time, we understand. Come and join us when you are ready. God bless you, and look forward to seeing you again. Amen.